We are in the Satanism 101 course, session number 14. This deals with satanic rituals. Now, listen, this is a major area of study, a major area of understanding. If Christianity and Christendom as a whole doesn't understand the biblical revelation of Satan's origin, nature, agenda, powers, if we do not understand biblical prophecy's revelation on upcoming manifestation of satanic powers, and specifically, if we really don't understand Revelation 16, how the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet gather together and release demons to go to the kings of the earth and guide them and lead them and direct them to bring their military out on the field to fight the very descent of Jesus Christ himself, his appearance visibly to the world, then we really are living our Christian lives with blinders on. And we will just simply say we don't understand what's going on. We really won't be able to answer the world accurately about the chaos, confusion, violence, terrorism, disruption that is moving towards a day of great chaos and anarchy and clashes in humanity's nations, let alone the rise of the Antichrist, which will be unprecedented. I mean, if you think in terms of Babylon in the past, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Rome, the Roman Empire, add all three of those together, and you still do not have something that will equal the power of the political, military, well, I would say financial backing of the New World Order under Luciferian rule and under direct, satanic manifestation. So it's very important to understand now the satanic ritual thing, because rituals have gone from just simply being, people in the 60s getting into them, contacting Satan, believing they're into Satan, hating God, using it as a tool of rebellion. It has moved from that to, conjuring powers, getting powers, to the point of military weaponizing satanic powers. And literally satanic powers, using military as weapons to eventually begin to train them for war and to release satanic powers in direct attack against Christians, Christianity, and in direct a direct push to advance the satanic cause. Please understand, satanic his agenda cannot go forward without that power, satanic power, manifesting in the world. This is similar to the book of Acts. The reason we were given the power of the Holy Spirit was to become witnesses. We've been given the agenda to reach the whole world for Christ, to get out there to the highways and byways, to all those places. Now, listen, if we're going to go all those places and reach the world for Jesus, and we understand that it doesn't go forward without the power of God. And that it's, well, the Word of God says of itself that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power and of joints over than the Holy Spirit. So please understand that as the kingdom of God goes, it is only advanced by the sovereign power of God manifested in and through the church. The great evangelist John Wesley used to say that God does not go over the head of the church. No, he goes in and through the church. All of the healings, all of the deliverances, and all the people getting saved in the world since the day of Pentecost on has been God operating in and through the church. And I think that Mark chapter 16, verse 20 demonstrates this. It says the disciples went out everywhere and evangelized. That's the Greek word. They preached the gospel, they shared the gospel with the view of getting people saved. And it says the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed. Jesus promised power, to be clothed with power. What was the power for? Acts 1:8, to be a witness. So when you read the first 30 years of the history of the early church, which is the book of Acts, you see power manifesting in and through the church, and only in that way does the kingdom of God advance. Now, there's an agenda and a dominion of Satan, the satanic dominion. It cannot advance without the satanic powers. So for us as Christians, if we don't pray, nothing, you know, it's clear, nothing will happen. I think James, when you read chapter 2 and in chapter 4, when you deal with the issue of the flesh and so forth, and wrong prayers and whatever, and you deal specifically with when there's no prayers, you know, there's definitely no answers. Nothing can come. So God does, matter of fact, again, no healing, nothing in the book of Acts occurred without the prayers of the people of God. And if you look at all the healings and signs and wonders from Old Testament to New, it always came in and through redeemed individuals who believed God and became literally the vessels through whom God would manifest. Well, this is how it is on the other side. Satanic rituals is all about linking up with satanic powers. It's all about the design of the satanic side of teaching, even through deception and lies, teaching their followers how to open the gates and the doors so that they can come in and go, you know, through. Look at Jack Parsons, the Babylon working with Ron L. Hubbard and so forth, and what may have come through when they did that, or the Amalantra working with Aleister Crowley. You can look at either sides of that and see, again, dark powers. Crowley knew this. Anybody who's a Crowleyite, or goes back to even John Dee or some of the other ancient Satanist occultists, Luciferians, they know that powers can be brought through. Even Wiccans that I have worked with and done deliverance with and so forth, they have also conjured powers. Spirits, elementals, they can call it whatever they want to. Bottom line, the Bible gives the accurate revelation of what they are, unclean spirits or demons. It doesn't matter what they cloak themselves to do or say, you know, they can claim their name is the sweetest name on the earth. They can try to show themselves. One remote viewer, when we were going through a deliverance procedure, said they could see the spirit, and it looked like a translucent, beautiful translucent being, New Age type being. When we commanded by the authority of Jesus for it, that demon, to look what it really looked like, to quit masquerading, the person that was still spiritually seeing, a lot of people who are opened up to the demonic realm can see into that realm. Well, in a deceptive way, of course, only what the demons want you to see. They were that's when they wanted that demon out. It was horrific looking. So as we've talked about already, the masquerading, the ability for the demonic realm in their powers, their supernatural powers, to masquerade. So I want you to realize again, as we go into this part of this, that you and I live and breathe in the presence and power of God. And the presence and power are inseparable. His presence is in His power, and His power is in His presence. There's an inseparable, connection between, you know, Him and His power and presence and so forth. When it comes to the satanic side, since He is finite, He does have to have the command of the trillions of demons under Him to fulfill His working. Once again, I point you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and taking a look at chapter 2 where it talks about the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. And the Antichrist himself will come in accordance with the work of Satan, counterfeiting signs, wonders, real supernatural powers, real supernatural events. Even when the false prophet shows up, fire from the sky, a counterfeit resurrection of the Antichrist. And I don't know, I honestly, you know, I'm speculating that it's, not going to be a fake. It's not going to be fake. Satan is into counterfeiting. He wants to do what God does because he wants to be God and wants to be worshipped as God. Don't forget, that is the ultimate desire. That humanity, and Satanists and Luciferians need to understand this eventually, he only steps on their heads to get to what he wants, as he's been doing from the beginning. and he's never reached his goal, and he's never fulfilled his promise. You can tell New Agers this, Luciferians this. Satan has never fulfilled his promise in giving man a spiritual evolution to deity. Not with the Aryan God-men race of the Nazis, not with the Gnostics and their view of deification. It's not occurred ever in the New Age, nor will it occur, because the finite cannot become the infinite. We've said that again, and we need to say it 1,000 times. But there are rituals, and again, many rituals on the books, their rituals will continue to move in that direction. They'll continue to move in that direction because rituals do bring the presence and the power of the demonic realm. Rituals do become a gateway through which demonic powers, demons, can come through and exercise, manifest actual supernatural, you know, events, powers, and activity and influence and presence and so forth. So if you are on page 30, session 14, Satanic Rituals, I do hope and I trust that you as a researcher and a student are keeping it prayed up, that you're learning and growing in the Lord Jesus. I encourage you again. We have now a thing called 7 Days Ablaze, 10, 15 minutes or so little devotionals on a daily basis to keep you encouraged and build up in the Lord. And hopefully as you study this, pack yourself with worship, with greatness. Listen, become a great prayer warrior. I mean, become a great witness for Jesus and a great prayer warrior, and you'll be a great worshiper, and that's where the ultimate level of victory, strength, and all of God's working is at, you know, at. So I encourage that, and I really trust, because that's God's will. It's God's will for you to take up the cross and follow Him, to grow strong and be strong in the Lord, to experience the great victory, to have the life that He promised abundantly, and then to be able to do the works. Remember Ephesians chapter 2? Remember how it tells us that we as believers, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That includes answers to prayer, soul winning, the seeing people healed, delivered, and so forth. To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, let us do what Hebrews 12 says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's be ablaze for God in the context. And so in this study on the rituals, peering into, looking into what the enemy is doing, we see the infallible revelation in Scripture concerning this. And then we can see out there in society and among Satanists and others where it's actually being applied, where they're doing the stuff. So number one, the revelation of Satan. Is satanic rituals, the bottom line ultimately brings the revelation, or if you want to even say the manifestation of Satan. And that's very important to understand. Rituals, even, listen, we've dealt with rituals from people who like voodoo, kintable, Wiccans, black Wiccans, pagan-oriented rituals towards us, a lot of satanic rituals on different levels, blood rituals, sex rituals, all kinds of stuff. And we've had to deal with that over the years. And so there's a number of things, I mean, things being sent to us, people confess what they did, death rituals have been done, and people come down to see if we're dead, all kinds of stuff to see this. We've studied in law enforcement, in the police academy, under occult crime, rituals that are done to kill people, to be used in drug trade. A lot of the drug trade from Mexico, from South America, has where they literally will bring and hire, you know, and pay for or have a part of their team, poleros or other, satanically oriented priestesses that can draw powers to for invisibility, to protect them, and all that kind of stuff. So when it comes down to satanic rituals, it's about ultimately the revelation of dark powers and of Satan. And let me just say this under point number one. Satan and dark powers do respond. They do respond. I mean, if you use a Ouija board, which again was not led by the Spirit of God, obviously, like demonic doctrine, it was inspired by a demonic presence. There's no question about that. I can remember when I first got saved, nobody had to tell me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, absolutely on fire, and loved Jesus, and I knew. I had to go down to my room back when I was 19 years old and clean out everything. Look into my room. I didn't care if it was music, posters on the wall, anything that I had that was demonically oriented or tools. And I remember my Ouija board and occult books and materials and all that, and to take everything out to the old trash burner. We lived out towards the country. Brought it all out there all by myself. Nobody was around. Poured gas all over it. Lit it. And I can remember feeling really, you know, just joyful in the Lord, that it was like a real, you know, cutting off of the past. That was already done in my heart, and I wasn't about to. People said, why don't you sell it and give it to other people? No, I don't want to demonize other people with all that deception. So it was a matter of getting rid of it. Anyway, it involves ultimately this principle. If you call on Satan, ultimately he will respond. This is what I've seen, you know, in the study of ancient you know, demon gods and goddesses, of all forms of Satanism, Luciferianism, and of individuals that we've had to do deliverance. And again, we spent thousands of hours in deliverance encounters with individuals. If you call on the demons by name, if you call on Satan, if you look that direction, please understand, as we've said in session 13, it's clear that Satan seeks worshipers. That's his insatiable eternal lust. He wants to be worshipped as God. How's he going to get that done without engaging humanity, lying to humanity, drawing humanity? I mean, look at some of it. Even in India, among the Hindus, and among all the different, listen, they've got, I have read at one point up to 300 million different gods and goddesses. So many that, I mean, there's so much, you can't even study it all. But the principle is the same. Against Christ, against the living God, and being drawn into, including, in India, human sacrifice. Including spirituality, like one guy was telling me how to appease the demon gods, to grow and develop spiritually. They were to stand in place, fall to the ground with their arms to their side, slam to the ground with their face hitting the ground, mark above their head with their hand into the dirt where they were, then stand up, walk up to that mark, fall again, and do that again and again and again and again until you get to the temple where the demon is, to appease the demon. When I see demon worship among the Mayans, the Aztecs, Sumer, many of those kind of places all over, the Middle East even, Africa, even in the voodoo stuff, you see humanity degraded. You see humanity misused. You see stuff that is just absolutely incredible. And how can people do this? When I saw just a couple months ago the special two-hour program on the crystal skulls, again, because of 2012, you're gonna find deeper levels of rituals, whether they call them satanic or not, and gateways and doorways opening up in the next number of years because of 2012. And as archaeologists dig up ancient ritual sites and bring out the old ritual slabs and amulets and scrolls and materials, guess what's going to happen? They're going to conjure, they're going to call, that's what the whole thing with Luciferians is, to look into those skin-covered ritual books to find some of the oldest rituals that they can use to conjure powers. So the bottom line, and this is, let me say something very important here. I think that if you have any young people that would deal with Dungeons and Dragons, if you look into the 13th level and others, you're going to find that they use some of the same demon names that is found in the book, the Satanic Bible. And I think that when people find the names of demons, symbols of demons, the sigils of demons and so forth, sigils they call them, and languages that are used in ritual formats, that is all the things that help call the demon. It's like ringing a doorbell. You know, if I'm walking down the street and I hear somebody yell out my name, my full name, Russ Dizdar, I will turn around. If people are going to call on Satan, call on demons and so forth, they're going to turn around. They're pursuing people anyway. And so that's what we need to understand. We need to understand the satanic agenda involves the pursuit of humanity, wanting them to bow down, Matthew 4, wanting them to bow down, and then offering them to give them things to appease them and to draw them to. Well, point two on page 30 is the way of contact. How do you open doors, gateways? Many individuals believe in the Amalanta working of Aleister Crowley that we've already looked at earlier, where this Lamb, L-A-M, this entity that he opened a door to, some believe are connected, this entity is connected to the Great White Brotherhood or connected to the Ascended Masters and has a lot to do with the Tibetans and so forth, which, by the way, the Great White Brotherhood is supposed to be over and above, hiding in that territory. That's why it's so spiritual. Well, you're talking about, again, the Cosmocrators, Ephesians 6. You're dealing with the principalities and powers and the wicked forces in the heavenly realms that oppose Christ, oppose the elect angels of God, and oppose the purpose of God, the church of God, the Christians, and even Israel because of the future promises. Rituals open doors. Bottom line, rituals become the legal rites. Now, if you look at Ephesians 4, where it talks about, and it tells us, be angry but don't sin, don't give the devil a... We're told this, don't give the devil a foothold. Topon is the Greek word. Take a look in the Greek lexicons if you want, and you'll find meaning the idea of a, you know, it's used in legal terminology too, of a legal right. It's also used of getting a foothold into something. Foot in the door, a foot in a, you know, having a hole in the side of a cliff and a foot, you can put your foot in the hole so you can lift yourself. I mean, you're getting a foothold. And it's a doorway. It's a gateway. You call it whatever you want to. Porthole, gateway, doorway. I believe there's big ones that can be created. Think in terms of the future issue of the abyss. In the book of Revelation, there is the abyss. It's locked down. There are horrific demonic presence in there. But at some point, Apollyon gets the key, the authority. Now, my question is, does he get the legal right to open the abyss through rituals that are being done? Does he get some kind of legal access? You know, how does he get the legal right to get to open the abyss? And when that occurs, a dimensional breaking opening occurs. And these, which were invisible, will be literally coming down. Like, you can read about it if you want to. Revelation 9, they'll come down upon the earth. And it has something to do with enough powers and whatever's done, authority, a key, a right is given to the king of the abyss to be able to open it and to allow that demonic horde to come and bring effect. Now, God sovereignly, obviously in that, says, hey, you can't touch anybody with the mark of God. You can't do this and this and this. So ultimately, this horrific evil presence then begins to attack people that have the mark. And it, I don't know if you can even look at it as the whole issue, the whole thing backfires. But they're ultimately going to try to, again, once again, they'll blame God concerning this. Well, as you look at point two on that page, and when we're dealing with satanic rituals, the bottom line, opening doors, gateways, portholes, whatever you want to call it, dimension, you know, how do, but think about this, on the other side, people call it the veil between, you know, the first heavenly we're living in, the second heavens, the third heaven, in which Paul went into the third heaven and saw things that he couldn't even say, put language to, things like that. Well, it's obviously the demons and angels are around us. There's no question about that. Dimensionally, or like the Greek word realm, it can be translated dimension. The idea of realm. They are. I don't know how you want to say it. They are on the other side of a veil or of a dimension. They're in their realm, we're in this realm. They want to come into this realm. The sad thing is they're calling from that realm, and many people, New Agers and many others, are then seeking that realm. I believe when remote viewers go out into the what they call the ether, is the same thing that occultists who are astral projecting go out to the astral plane. I was trained as a Buddhist, Buddhism, Golden Buddha, how to go out, the master that was training us told us how to go to the great universal. Bottom line, there are entities over there. There are things to go to, see, and do, and where you can get great learning and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is, how did you get there? In all those cases, it comes from demonic energy and their working. And leads to deception, leads to the development of all kinds of spiritual streams that are always leading people away from God. That's why astral projectors, remote viewers, have one great thing in common. They are not born again of the Spirit of God, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, and they are inclined to move away from the real Jesus of Scripture and grab hold of anything, any other spirituality, except the real revelation of God in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I've never met nor read of, in many different books and individuals, never met a remote viewer, astral projector, anybody that's able to do that, who knows Jesus in a personal relational way and who's born again, because it doesn't come from him. But they have again, even in that, they have opened a doorway, and it comes from the dark powers. Well, opening doorways deals with the concept of legal rights. I don't know if you remember this or not. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says eventually, he says these words, "The prince of this world now stands judge, and he has nothing in me." He has no legal right. That Jesus never disobeyed the word of God, never broke the law of God, never Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus was utterly sinless. No matter what temptations, whatever he went through, he never sinned. And Satan had, from birth all the way to the cross, had absolutely no rights. Now with us, he does. Until we're saved, at least. And when we're saved, he doesn't have legal rights unless we, you know, open some kind of door or whatever. Or if he's just doing basic, you know, attack and warfare, that's another issue. But it's not the same as the kind of legal rights. So we're told in Ephesians 4, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a right. Well, this is what's happening. The reason why there's so much demonic manifestation is on their side, they're seeking men, seeking women, seeking masses, and as individuals are led to pick up books and materials and to occult groups and secret societies and satanic groups and begin to then open their hearts, whether from New Age channeling to direct Luciferian, you know, satanic worship, you know, demons come and be conjured by blood sacrifices and let the powers come into their lives. Well, either way, they need the legal right and they need a human will. They need human will. Even when it comes to a territorial area, they need humans to have brought them from that side to this side and have in some way have consecrated the territory. Even when it comes to a demonized object, it can't be an object cannot be demonized unless it is taken by a human that is open to the demonic realm and that is doing the instructions of a ritual to conjure powers. Light level individuals will call it charging an object, but it's really demonizing an object, so that the presence and power of demons can be in a house, in a temple, in a territory, in an area, many want to have a lot of it. I've walked into houses where I can admit, it's like, if you've ever been outside and it's like 50 degrees, and if you walk into a house and they had the thermostat to 80, you know the difference. The moment you open that door and walk in, boom, you're hit with that heat. Or vice versa, you're in a house, The air conditioning is on at 70. Outside, it's 98 degrees and humid. I mean, we've experienced that. I mean, I walk out of my house and it's 73 in here, and I walk out and it's 90 degrees. You can feel the heat, the different, the atmosphere. Well, as a believer with the power of the Holy Spirit, you may be able to feel that. Even lost people can sometimes feel and know there's something in a house or somewhere and know there's something wrong. And the only reason, and every time you hear anybody talk about, oh, there's a haunting in this house, or demon, dark powers in this house, or in this temple, or in this wooded area, or on this particular object, or on a person, it's all because doors have been opened. It's all because legal rights have been given for the demons to be able to come from their side, their realm, into this physical realm in some level. And they need that. And they need that. They need God manifests into our lives when we say yes and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not until we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God then comes into our spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in and we are born again. We're not born again until we literally by faith say yes and open our hearts to Jesus. And even as a believer, you can grieve the Holy Spirit by sin. You can quench the fire of the Holy Spirit by not being willing to be obedient to the Word of God and involved in ministry. You can stop, in your personal life, in your personal life, that can happen. God manifests in and through the believer. And on the counterfeit or the opposite side of the fence, Satan and demons manifest in and through those believers and through their human wills. We could even read about it in Timothy, how it says, what Paul says, and Satan has taken them captive to do his will. Okay? It's never said of a believer being taken captive to do God's will. We will to do the will of God. Jesus said in John 7, whoever wills, that is from your heart, desires and wants, whoever wills to do the will of God will know the teaching, whether it comes from God. So there's a freedom and willingness. God frees our will and leads us to freely open and be, and that's the good thing as a believer, man, we can be wide open. Psalm 81:10, open wide your mouth, open wide your heart and life, and I will fill it. That's God's invitation to us on a willful level. Now on the satanic side, with the deception and the deceit and everything else that's going on, Satan is moving people to take them captive to do his will. And so we see a lot of captive people out there. And the trouble is when they finally want to get away from whatever's on them and in them, what they have allowed into their lives, then they realize the demons are going to come against them, and then they want out. They want freedom, and that's why hundreds have come to us, and hundreds of thousands really around the world now are seeking out people that can do exorcism, and again, biblical deliverance. Point 3, page 30, satanic rituals are done. Now, here's some of the reasons why they're done, okay? And this is pretty important, the reasons why satanic rituals are done. Doesn't make, again, whether, when I say satanic rituals, ultimately, I know Wiccans get mad when I say, but the powers they're dealing with are dark, from the dark side, they're not from God. Pagans, all the different flavors. If it involves dark spirits who have given the ritual format, and all rituals have ultimately come by the inspiration of demons, and they're literally doctrines of demons about how to conjure them, how to get on that side, how to get them to come across, how to appease them, and how they will then please you. So, satanic rituals, from the lightest level of stuff in the New Age to the darkest level of stuff in the deep, deep Council of 13, Luciferian stuff. Bottom line is this. They're done to conjure demons. Bring them from that side to this side. To call on them and bring them from that side to this side. Rituals are done to conjure powers, which, again, flow from the demonic for specific needs. They're conjuring powers for healing, for money, for sex, for fame, all those kind of things. You can even go pay certain kinds of priests and priestesses to do curses on people that you're mad at. And people get paid for that. The rituals are done to conjure Satan himself. There are specific rituals that are done to conjure Satan himself. I think of the Black Mass and other rituals. They're completely done and need to be spoken and done correctly with precision. If you understand rituals, they've got to be done in a certain way. You can't break the circle. You can't do a lot of things. You got to do them, you know, otherwise, you know, harm can come to the novice. They all know this and teach this concept. They don't understand that when it comes to the demons, I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're the highest dark priest in all the world. They're a novice in comparison to the knowledge of the dark powers. You know, unaided by the Spirit of God and of Christ, no human being has the capacity intellectually to outwit the demonic realm. They're superior to fallen humanity in every way. And so Aleister Crowley was duped, and he's in hell now. And John Dee is in hell now. And Jack Parson is in hell now. Duped by the dark side, thinking that they've become elitists and powerful and like Jack Parsons thought he'd become the Antichrist himself. Well, they want to conjure Satan himself, so there's Luciferic, you know, invocation, and you know, they're even in the New Age, they're, and David Spangler and others with Alice Bailey, and you'll find the Luciferic invocation. If you just even Google that Luciferian invocation, you're going to find the calling of the light, the calling of these powers. They've done this at the UN and other places. And if they call on these lights and powers and so forth, but it's not of God, it's not Christ, it's counterfeit. It's angel, you know, again, the satanic side masquerading as an angel of light. But if you call on even the masqueraded presence of demons and Satan himself, if you call on that, they're going to come through. Question I have is, who wrote the invocation to Lucifer? And again, I would say, inspired by the demons themselves, they help communicate into the heads and minds of the occultists and practitioners and Satanists. And just like the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit through the open wills of believers, demonic inspiration comes into those who are open and willing to receive it on that side. Now, the rituals are done to receive powers for, you know, themselves. They want to receive powers. They want to receive favors themselves. They want it. Many of those that are in higher levels of Satanism and in the issues of satanic warfare, satanic warrior monks that we've dealt with, they want to keep conjuring powers to get them in. They want more and more and more demons within them. Because each demon means more power. Each demon means maybe some new ability. And so they want to do things. And that's why they'll do ritual. That's why they'll cut up a human being or an animal or whatever, or do other things in order to get that. Receiving instruction. Yes, right. They can do rituals in order for a counterfeit demonic-inspired prophecy to be given. Now, I've had individuals from satanic groups come back to me, even with written into their, you know, with a page with a satanic prophecy. It was weird. One of them came back and it was like, to my people, whatever else, soon our kingdom will rise. All these kind of words, like a prophecy to the satanic coven. Soon the holy ones, referring to Christians, will be, you know, trampled. And we will come to power and victories, you know, of Satan and so forth. And it's a counterfeit prophecy. We had in the Old Testament, you have lying spirits operating in false prophets. In satanic grotto, satanic worship services, you can have any of the charismatic gifts counterfeited. Oh, most real demonized Satanists that I've met have the ability to speak in other languages. Like the gift of tongues in the book of Acts and in the book of Corinthians. We've done a lot of deliverances where the person who could speak in a counterfeit tongues when they were delivered from the demon no longer spoke in that counterfeit tongue. so they can receive instruction and guidance through their rituals. That occurs. Well, let's look at rituals as far as dark powers coming into their lives, coming into their group. I can tell you story after story after story what people told me of the supernatural occurrences that occurred in their meetings. Well, look at the book of Acts, how the supernatural powers of God, look at Acts chapter 4, how the power of God came in and upon all the believers, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and then the building itself shook. Can satanic powers do that kind of thing? Yes. They're real. When they're uncontested, it will happen. Unless there are believers who stand up and by the authority of Jesus pray against them and pray them down. That's like out at Bohemian Grove in California. And please, I encourage you to go to the shadowthedarkness.net site and to the left-hand side, Assault on Bohemian Grove. Learn about Bohemian Grove. Research it, because you need to know that in the United States of America for 150 years or more, that real Luciferians have gathered there to influence. And they're connected with all the secret societies and higher Masons and Skull and Bones and all the way to Europe. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. Maybe we'll do a separate hour on that. But we've already got that web, four or five pages of stuff, including, prayer mapping them and what to do and how to focus. And they have a massive, massive, massive ritual that goes on. It's kind of a mock ritual, like of Moloch and a human being thrown into the fire. It's that concept, ultimately. Now listen, victims have told me that the human body wrapped in effigy, they say to the crowd, it's an effigy of a human being. They throw it in the fire. Well, why is our presidents, senators, governors, wealthy individuals, military people, why would they even, if it was just a mock ritual, why would they sit there and watch this cremation of care and you're casting your cares and all this kind of stuff? When the truth is, all those people have been recruited to be drawn there for one purpose, so that the real Luciferians can do the rituals and release demonic presence upon the leaders that are all sitting there. Assigned, targeted demons right on them to influence them, guide them, gather them. Again, you cannot understand rituals unless you go to the Word of God, study Revelation 16, which gives you an accurate, and actually this is a future, it hasn't occurred, this one hasn't occurred yet, and I call it the mother of all rituals, where the dragon, the beast and the false prophet, in kind of a triangulation, pull together, and in this kind of unholy threesome, release demons out of their mouths. Luciferians understand this, because see, they acquire demons within them, and then when they want to battle something or something occur, they can release the demons out of them. Instead of conjuring them from the other side, if they've got many demons within them, they can release them through their breathing, through their mouth. It is said that demons, when they've come out of people, even when Jesus dealt with this with the mouth, they come out in that way. I don't want to emphasize that too much, because there's speculation there too, but if a demon isn't a person, when you command it to leave, do they just come off or they come out of? Jesus uses the word ek in the Greek, meaning out of, not just off of. Come out of them. And we've seen many times when people are delivered of demons that were inside them, basically screaming, the demon screaming through their mouth, and it's almost like they come up out of their mouth, out of them. Seems that way anyway. Well, they do the rituals to receive instruction and guidance. They do the rituals to let dark powers come into them and to be obedient to, so forth, to be used. They They also do rituals to put dark powers in other individuals, disobedient members within the Brotherhood and so forth. They bring back, they do ritual stuff, they want to re-demonize them. And the bottom line is, they've learned and they know how to send dark powers. Satan is building an army of individuals, not only knowing how to acquire dark powers, but to send them out. Again, a counterfeit church. To them, a ritual is a prayer meeting. And they're releasing their powers against their enemies. Curses, spells, hexes, whatever you want to call them, ultimately, if they acquire the powers and realize that they're there to do the satanic agenda, which includes harming the church, coming against the church, corrupting the church, defeating the church, whatever, then they're going to use those powers against the church, which have been done for some time now. Again, on the shadowthedarkness.net site on the front, towards the right, the infiltration, how Satanists have been infiltrating the military and the church. And it can't be done without that secret power, operating power. And that's how they're operating at this point. But you can be sure, like in Revelation 16, it will become more of a public thing. That powers, like, look again. If you study the Mayans at all, these ziggurats, they were conjuring the powers doing human sacrifices. I read one source here a few weeks ago where in the last couple of years, they have reported anyway, they were down there, that up to 70,000 humans were sacrificed for some reason before they were ultimately destroyed. Maybe it was maybe again, the judgment of God was coming, the flood was coming, whatever. And they was all about trying to protect and build up power and war against, and obviously the judgment of God took them down. Satanic warfare is clear. You and I, as a believer, we can have warfare, we can have oppression, different things come against us, but Satanists, they now clearly, Luciferians, Brotherhooders, all the way back to the Nazis. Please understand, in my research now, I can see where they have learned how to do this for now up to 60 years. In the last 30, since the 70s specifically, they really know how to use the satanic powers as a weapon against the church, as an influence into military politics and other places. They're now realizing how, and again, they can become very powerful if they go uncontested. Bohemian Grove, look how secret that has been. I mean, there's been rumors of it all the way back in the 70s. But it wasn't until the 90s when victims started coming out. We had victims come to us and tell us all about it. And then right around 2000 is when Alex Jones got in. Others had tried to get in before, but eventually, and I think through the prayers of the saints, now that we've seen a peeking into this high-level ritual that is very similar to Revelation 16, and I want you to know something real clear. Bohemian Grove and the ritual done there is only one of many hidden exclusive places throughout the United States, the UK, and especially Europe, where rituals are constantly going on. Satanists love to infiltrate churches so that they can become board members, get the keys to the church, and eventually be able to sneak a group in, right around midnight and be there between midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning to do rituals in the church. We've tracked them. We've had law enforcement go in. We had one group that was caught doing blood ritual stuff with the Bible and ripping it up and whatever, right in the church building and desecrating the building too. But for many, they like to just unleash powers there to desecrate, just like in the days of Manasseh, Kings, 2 Kings 21, 22. They got right into the temple, right into the temple. And if they can't get into the temple, they'd love to be in the woods and area around to be able to target. You got to understand, they target churches. They target pastors and leaders and Christians. Pastor Larry Lee from back, I think, in the 80s or late 80s or whatever, wrote a book, I think it's called To Pray With Me 1 Hour. It's about a book about praying with the Lord and spending an hour of time with the Lord. And anyway, in the beginning of it, it talks about, and he has another book, Weapons of Our Warfare, and I forget actually which one of those two books it's in. I'll have to go back and look, but I'm just thinking of the story of him being on an airplane, some guy next to him praying, and eventually he's thinking the guy's just praying, Christian prayers or whatever. He asked the guy, said, "Hey, I see you praying," and the guy's like, "Well, yeah, but you wouldn't understand." And finally, he got the guy to tell him, the guy's a Satanist, that he's been given a certain target group of pastors, and that he's to be doing prayers, releasing attack on pastors. And can they make effect? Yes. Can they call? Because they've opened the doors. They've made the legal areas. Now, when they're sent against you, and I'm saying experientially, I can only tell you story after story where there's no question we have felt experientially attacks come to our lives, our money, our physical health. It's like the idea of oppression and attack in Ephesians 6 amplified it. They open the doors and here it comes. And yeah, we need to respond. Don't forget the story of Moses in the Old Testament. The people of God, the Israelites, are going to battle a demonized, demon-worshipping nation. It is without question that the demonized, demon-worshipping nation would conjure they would sacrifice, blood sacrifice, do all they can to appease the demon gods, to gain powers to come and defeat Israel. Is it only a physical battle? Well, the Word of God reveals no. That when Moses went up and raised his arms up in prayer, intercession, and unleashed the prayers, that Israel would be winning and having victory and advancing forward. When he did get tired and his arms began to go down, and they went down, it's as though that was the window. The window was closed, and the other side, the powers were operating through that nation, and they began to win. If Christians are not prayer warriors interceding, unleashing the prayers, as the Holy Spirit says in Timothy 2, first of all, urgency. If we're not a praying group like in Acts chapter 4, then we literally give room to the advancing cause of the enemy. Let me say it again. We literally give room to the advancing cause of the enemy. Our absence, our neglect, our prayerlessness, gives the enemy uncontested advancement. And they will advance. And that's why there's 60 million New Agers, 100,000 covens, hundreds of millions of people worldwide that are into demonized worship and that are being drawn down that road to the day of the great revolt and revelation of the Antichrist. And without the intervention, they're going to be the people of the mark of the beast and worship the beast. And think that they've come to a spiritual evolution and transformation of humanity because they've been prepped for it. As believers with the indestructible, and within, again, the body of Christ, indestructible body of Christ that Jesus is building with the authority of Christ, why did Jesus give us authority? Let me just ask you that. Think about it. You answer that question. Maybe send me an email and say, "Hey, Russ, I listened to that, and my answer is," shatterxml@sbcglobal.net. Why did he give us, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "I have given you," perfect tense in the Greek, meaning the idea of permanent presence, "I have given you authority." What for? To trample. What? To trample what? Demons, the demonic powers. And what else? To overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm you. Isn't it true that most of the people in your church don't even know they have that authority? Have never been led to just say, "Lord, I accept the fact that you have given me that authority and I want to use it." Most don't even know it. If you don't know it, how can you use it? So maybe God wants you to start a Bible study on spiritual warfare in your church. Hey, by the way, I want to just mention here, and I'm going to probably link it to the webpage, a book, an older Christian book. I think it was really good. It was I used it in I think like 1990, and I when I was pastoring a larger church, we had hundreds of people all through Sunday school. Sequentially, they're all together going through this study for 16 weeks. It's called Battling the Prince of Darkness by Evelyn Christensen. And that'll be on the web page, but if you want to look it up at Amazon or whatever, you can do that too. But Battling the Prince of Darkness, and it dealt with defensive levels, but also offensive, and it was very practical. But how many people at your church? And if you're a pastor listening, do you understand Jesus has given you authority to trample the dark side, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you? So, you know, are you using that? Are you using the authority of Christ? See, it's just a part of my life. It's a normal part of my Christian life. When I'm praying in church, standing in church, I'm, you know, along with all the other prayers, I'm rebuking anything demonic. I am coming. I do offensive spiritual warfare along with praying for the advance of the cause of Christ, salvation of souls, blessing the church, and everything else. I have the authority of Christ. You have the authority of Christ. And that authority is given to you so that you can, and I want to say must, you need to, trample, trash, you know, bring harm to, whatever you want to say, trample. Look at the imagery. Again, if you're in the Middle East, you understand what a snake and a scorpion, you know, what do? And you literally put your foot down on it and crush them, smash them. That's the authority of Jesus Christ in your life to literally crush the dangerous, lethal, poisonous, demonic presence. Will you do that? Will you right now say, I accept the authority of Jesus Christ based on Luke chapter 10. Jesus, I accept the authority you've given me. And now I'm going to seek to use it in my praying on a daily basis. I will use it if I meet anybody who's demonized to cast out demons. I will use it if I know any kind of rituals are being done and groups are sending stuff. I'll use it against the Bohemian Grove. I would to God that 10,000 Christians would just begin now to join. Maybe you can join other Christians and begin, let the Spirit of God operate in your life and join many others and begin to just thunder your prayers against what's going on there, exposure of what's going on there, freedom and safety and deliverance of the victims, and literally trample dark powers, overcome all the power of the enemy. I mean, listen, they have been for years in that place and many others. What we need to do too is pray, Lord, where are the other hidden places? Where are these Luciferian elitists meeting and sending out powers on our government and against our government? You understand it's a spiritual battle. When Moses was praying, it wasn't just a physical battle. The battle was won on the foundation of spiritual power. And the laws of engagement, if we don't pray, nothing happens. The windows are shut. If we don't witness, nothing happens. So anyway, let's continue to go on through some of this, because I think that if we don't understand that that's what's being done and that they have learned on the dark side, they call it blitzkrieg, lightning warfare. They have all kinds. I've sat and listened to ex-Satanists, Luciferians, and engaged individuals for so long now to listen to how they talk about how their groups, how they do it. One group talked about how every church in the greater Northeast Ohio area is grid mapped and on a map. And they're color coded for the ones, you know, like churches that they think would be dangerous to them, to the Satanists, they thunder their ritual prayers, powers against those churches. So if you understand Revelation 16 and get that little glimpse of how that demon powers are released. And listen, maybe by the providence of God, this would get to, you know, presidents, kings, leaders in the European area, the European Union right now in Germany and Spain and France and Italy and all those countries. Because you know what? The Word of God prophetically says they are the ultimate targets. If you look at Revelation 16, the demons are sent to gather the kings of the earth, and that will be the nations that have aligned itself with the New World Order issues, to gather them by spiritual deception, miraculous powers of the demons. So what is this? Supernatural, operative, dark, satanic powers guide the kings, presidents, leaders, military leaders, to bring their advanced military out in the field. Look at that. It's operate. I mean, it's very clear. God says that's what's going to happen. And it's happening on a lesser level right now in preparation. So I think that part of what we need to do is, again, pray for the exposure of the centers of satanic warfare and where they're doing warfare. Every church should be praying nowadays, Lord, in our own little city or little village or bigger city, is there any groups that are unleashing? Really seek the Holy Spirit's strategy on this. Really seek the Lord on saying, Lord, show us. Look what happened to Ezekiel 8. Remember how God gave a supernatural, hole into the substructures of satanic worship. And realize that in your city, in your town, in secrecy right now, there are clearly, I can say it honestly with all my heart, clearly satanic rituals going on. Point four on page 31, let's finish this up. Satanic rituals, it's what the demons want. Satanic rituals are what the demons want and what Satan wants. What do they want? I mean, they want the rituals, but in the rituals, what is it they want? They want human and animal blood sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to go into detail here. Again, this is just a simple overview. It's supposed to be a light level overview. But even if you Google satanic calendar and you look up, all the different dates, July, August, satanic revels, demon revels, September, marriage of the beast, hands of glory, all the different ones, all you're going to see animal sacrifice, human sacrifice, sexual, rituals and so forth. And it's again to conjure powers to bring things through to allow Satan to move on them to advance the satanic cause, to get, appeasements themselves. But what do they use? We stand by the blood that was shed by Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, an authority given. We don't have to do anything. Jesus sacrificed, his life was sacrificed, his sinless blood was given, and we stand on the basis. That's why we have authority, based on the cross. And they have to continue in order to bring the demons across, in order to appease the demons, human and animal, and more than ever. I mean, they want. And the bottom line, if you even read the literature, let alone listen to the Satanists, the real Satanists, the more innocent the human. I mean, they'll use animals, but they'll like to use a human. They'd rather have a human, and the more innocent, young. The bottom line, a young girl, let alone a baby, boy or girl, baby. Will help them draw more powers because of their sick and perverted deception. The demons can attach or move on the raised human energy. What I mean by that, when this perverted sex rituals are being going on, which usually is basically rape and pain. Harm, a lot of satanic rituals, and I won't go into the cult crime rituals, but a lot of them deal with jabbing with a knife 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 times, not killing the person, but bloodletting. I mean, causing pain and letting blood come forth. We have a few cases we dealt with where the individual girls were stabbed anywhere from 50 to one was over 100 times. None of the cuts would have killed them, and all of the cuts together wouldn't have killed them. The cuts were done to increase pain, terror, fear, and they were sexually, raped during the same time. I don't know if you can in your mind, but I tell you what, there's been times I've sat out in a cult, in a field where the ritual occurred, where, we were doing cult crime investigation stuff, and I've listened to stories, and I've had to sit and deal with the fact that a 14-year-old girl is being stabbed with a knife. Sexually raped over an hour-long period with all the terror, with all the fear, with all the weeping, sadness, and horrific stuff she's going through. And then the third power, they call it, killing them at a specific time. Why is all that done? Because the longer the sexual perversion, the longer the pain, the longer the terror, the longer the fear, the more demons, they can attach to that energy. are appeased by that blood, and they're appeased by that desecration of humanity. They're appeased by that harm. And if you do what appeases them, they will come to do, they will come. That's just how it works. And that's why I think that we should become great warriors of God, not only in the evangelization of the world, but coming against what is now becoming, you know, a growing, broader, and will become an open-aired thing in the last number of days of history. Well, the demons, they want ritual ceremony that gives honor to them, to their names, to Satan himself. They want maybe sometimes even certain languages to be used. There are some that believe certain languages were created by the demons. They can call them angelic languages if they want to, fallen angelic languages. And symbols and sigils and so forth to be used, writings and whatever. They want great ceremony and pomp to appease them. The demons and Satan, the ritual, they want to demonize places and objects. They want to kind of, they want the territory to be theirs. Now, please understand when I say this, you know how a dog or an animal, you know, a dog like that will go to the bathroom on a certain area to kind of, you know, leave their scent territorial. This is a territorial issue. This is a place where manifestation. You know, if there's been real manifestation of demons in a house or in a field or in a building, then the demons that were conjured there will see that as their territory legally, and that people coming into that can be influenced. They're walking into where there is a sense of manifest demonic presence. And even objects that can be demonized. Well, the bottom line is this, in rituals, if you appease them, they may please you. And that's what a lot of that's about. And on a personal level. On the ultimate level is the demonic realm, specifically Satan, wanting to operate through their people and advance the cause, rituals to advance. Well, like again, Father Malachi Martin talks about the enthronement of the Antichrist ritual done secretly in St. Paul's in the Vatican. If you read the book Windswept House, many believe that knew him that he was putting that in fictional form to speak what was really going on. He really believed these things. And they truly have satanic groups primarily from the Nazis on, as have infiltrated the Catholic Church. William Kennedy is very clear about this in his book Lucifer's Lodge, and rituals being done in the black rooms in the Catholic churches all over the place. So if you can imagine, since the Catholic, the Catholic institution is the largest religious institution, organized religious institution in the world, and has been heavily, heavily infiltrated. And according to the Satanists that I've dealt with, Luciferians I've dealt with, they're able to easily do that because where the manifested power of God, not, you know, ritual format and blah, 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 you know, ritual talk and religion talk and all that kind of stuff, where there's no power of God and authority of Christ exercised, well, the Luciferians like to infiltrate that level of Christianity. So, what are we to do? Well, we're to realize Christians can experience demonic attack through oppression and attack. Ephesians 6 is very clear that we're to have the armor of God on because of the day of evil. And like Job, attacks can come, events in our life, property, health. I mean, that's what happened with Job. Satan hates righteous people, hates believers. Remember, again, Peter, who experienced defeat at one point in spiritual warfare, later is led by the Spirit of God to write in 1 Peter 5 that we're to be, you know, self-controlled and alert because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around seeking whom he may devour. That's a reference to Christians. So he's already looking to bring you, you know, oppression and attack and bring events, like in Job's life, events and property and health. All, you know, happening in an uncanny and satanic synchronicity against you. Well, you'd have the full armor of God up and pour out your prayers and rebuke and stand and be delivered. James tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the other ways, you know, demonic stuff can attack, harm us. If we open the doors, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 down, with deep, unrepentant sin, we're giving the demons a landing pad to attach or harass an area of our life. And that could be anger, that could be lust, that could be other things. If you open the door and you're in the flesh in an unrepentant, way, even with deep, long, committed secret sin, well, as a believer, that you're giving room to the devil, giving legal room to the devil to begin to hold on to that area and really, rack up some trouble and misery in your life. We can also, and this is where, again, we're not realizing, we can also be affected through occult warfare. And let me just mention, since we're already at past 70 minutes right now, when Satanists send dark powers, when they seek to transfer dark powers on you, Christians must learn and practice warfare. Jesus is our final authority. The cross is where the basis of victory is. We begin with authority. Put on the armor of God. Unleash your prayers. And then biblical prophecy reveals that the last days will bring unequaled spiritual warfare and powers. Keep your prayers up. Grow strong in the Lord. See what He is speaking to your life. Stand in His presence and say, Lord, what do you want me to do from this point on? And realize, let me give to you Acts 9:22. Saul of Tarsus got saved. He's now Paul. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he begins to step out in obedience. And guess what happens? Committed to Jesus, filled with the Spirit, and stepping out in obedience. Here's what it says. He grew more and more powerful. You can grow more and more powerful. Surrendered with all of your faith in Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, stepping out in obedience to Jesus, you will grow more and more powerful. That's the way God's designed it. And Lord bless you, keep you. Hey, remember us in your prayers. And we bless you in Jesus' name today.